Good morning. So the Bible is full of stories of people going to sacred spaces in order to find themselves, in order to be in community, in order to exist with God. One of those sacred spaces for me has always been the Oregon coast. And sacred time that I have spent there is at camps. We here at Fremont are trying to bring some camp here today. So we've invited Troy, the director of Camp Magruder, to share a special worship experience that if you went to camp, you might experience something like this. So I'll invite Troy up.
Thank you, Jared. And thank you, Fremont United Methodist. Can you all hear me? The mic is working right. I'm going to take a second to move some things around. So just bear with me. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took a midnight train going anywhere. Do you realize that you've sung this song like 5 straight mornings in a row? Whoa, hey, you're real? You can actually like see me and talk to me? Yes, how do you not know this? I look you straight in the eye every time you step in front of this thing here. Wow, I guess I just never really realized that was what was happening. But you see this every day.
Yeah, I get that, but you know, sometimes when you're going through your life every day, we just don't really even know if we're conforming our place sometimes because you just keep it a little bit because you're nervous about that. Well, yeah, I understand that. But if you go for the whole life of life, you might just go for a little bit of a life that's really full of fear.
Yeah, you know, when you put it that way, it makes sense, crystal clear. You know, I guess it's not that I really mean to miss things that are happening right in front of my face. Sometimes it's just hard to imagine that I might be part of something that's special, you know, when you get used to things just being normal all the time. You know, it's hard to not just think that things won't just stay the way that they are. Trust me, from somebody who watches you a whole lot, things are always changing and growing. I've seen you change and grow a lot, too. So, since we're talking about things changing, how about tomorrow we work on a different morning song choice? All right, you got it. Tomorrow morning, something new. How about this? When the lights go down in the city. I can see you still have a lot of things to realize, but we'll try again tomorrow. All right. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Troy. I come to you from the beautiful Oregon coast. It was a very interesting drive getting here. When I left the coast, it was raining. And then I went through the mountains, and it got slushy, and then it got snowy, and then it was a winter wonderland, and then it got rainy again. It was a beautiful way to start the morning and to get here, so thank you for welcoming me into your beautiful church, and thanks for listening to me. If it's your first time here, I'm not the normal speaker, so if you feel like it's a big snooze fest, give the place another chance. But thank you. I'm happy to be here and happy to be representing Camp Magruder. And please, talk to me after the service is over. I would love to share more about what we're doing out there and all the ways that things at camp can help things at church and vice versa. Your people will rebuild ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You know this, right? Yeah, of course you know this. You've heard this before. But do you realize this? Do you realize it? Because it's easy for us to kind of walk through our daily lives knowing things, but not realizing things, seeing things, but not recognizing them. I've spent a lot of my life doing that. When I was young, I was a very introverted kid. I wasn't a troublemaker or anything like that. I didn't talk a whole lot. It wasn't necessarily that I was shy. I was just quiet and liked to be to myself. And I got to go to camp every year. I got to go to camp every summer. And I enjoyed it, but it was something that I went to do. I enjoyed it because I got to go swimming once a day, and I would go home not really feeling that much different than when I came before. But that changed. That changed when I got to be 16 years old, and my best friend got asked to go counsel at camp, and I didn't. And so if you can put yourself in a 16-year-old's shoes, you probably know what my reaction was. It was that I don't want to be left out of this. I want to do that too. And so sure enough, the next year, after my best friend had come back regaling me of all the tales of the wonderful things that had happened at camp, how cool it was, how many people he met, I was bound and determined not to be left out of that. And so I signed up to counsel, and sure enough, I got picked up to counsel an elementary camp. And so my counseling career began. I didn't really think that much about it. I thought this will be a cool thing to do for a week, just like I had thought about going to camp as a camper. And so I went and became a camp counselor. And I had a little cabin of rambunctious boys, as you can imagine, if you were going to be an elementary camp counselor. But something over the course of the week started to feel different within me that I'd never really felt at camp before. That introverted part of me I had to kind of put on the shelf because in addition to being an introvert, I'm also a perfectionist. And so I was not going to let that stand in the way of me doing good work. And I have a lot of experience with kids. I was the oldest in my generation of family. We had like all of these cousins, and so I had a lot of experience working with people younger than me. And so I developed like this knack for it. And over the course of the week, began to realize that I was not only doing this well, but I was enjoying this. And that I wanted to do this again. But it changed even more the last day of camp. How many of you have been to camp before as a camper? Okay, so I don't need to spend a lot of time telling you what the last night of camp is like, right? Can you go back there in your memories and remember what it was like? Everyone, there is this moment in the week where there's a realization that you're going to go home. And you knew that was going to happen, but it hits you that you realize it's going to happen. And everybody begins getting blubbery and weepy and hugging all the time and crying. And I had experienced this many times going as a camper. But it had never hit me in that way. I just kind of sat there watching everyone else crying and hugging and blowing their nose and had not really experienced that. But at the end of this particular week, my first time counseling, we've done this for this group of kids. We put this week on for them. We've been the ones that have facilitated this experience happening. And we get into a worship service that we have prepared, that we've been a part of. And I began to look over at these people, many of whom I did not know until Monday. And we're hugging each other, and everybody's crying. And I look over at my best friend, who I had never seen cry before. And he's bawling his eyes out, like a five-year-old or something. And he looks at me, and he comes over to me, and he's like, "You're not getting away from me, buddy." And he gives me this big bear hug. He had never hugged me before. And I look around at this and step back in my head for a minute, and I realize that something big has changed. Something is very different now, and things won't be the same again. In all reality, nothing out of the ordinary had happened. The same thing that happened every Friday at camp happened. But for me, there was a night and day difference. And the difference was I realized what was happening right in front of my face. Not only that, I realized I was a part of what was happening in that space. We are in a time, if you feel like I do, we're in a time where we are longing for something to happen, something big and important. We are longing to feel a part of that, I think. But we already are. We already are a part of that thing. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I want you to do this with me. Take two fingers and put them on your neck, right next to your windpipe. Take a moment and just feel the blood pumping. Do you realize that your heart is constantly doing this? And it has been since you were born? And it will continue to do this until you die? Whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, whether you're sad or whether you're happy, whether you're excited or whether you're lazy, whether you succeed or whether you fail, it will continue to do this. Do you realize the power of that thing there in your chest that is beating that blood through your body, through your whole life? Do you realize all the ways that God may be working through that heart in your chest right now? Do you realize the hearts that are also beating in this room are stronger together because they beat in this same room? Do you realize that they are calling out to grow closer, to do something great, to rebuild those roads, to build the walls that are crumbling as we speak? Do you realize these verses are talking to us? Do you realize that we could be the restorer of streets? Do you realize that we can rebuild the things that we thought might have been lost? Do you realize? It's talking about us. To help this, I want to do something that's a lot of fun if you're a kid. How many of you are familiar with the idea of a Mad Lib? You guys done that before? Where you've got a story and there's a bunch of blanks and you get to say words like booger and it makes the story really funny? You can do something sort of like that. But this, we're just going to do with names. And so if you would, if you'll go down this road with me, if you feel comfortable enough talking to me, I'd like for some of you in the congregation just to give me your name. Just tell me your name and I'm going to write it down. I promise it won't be anything that is insulting to you or anything like that. But a few people, just tell me some names of the members of this congregation. Paul? Okay, some more.
Janet.
And Claudia. Okay. Others? Trina. And what was the second one? Did you say?
Mark.
Trina and Mark. Others? Okay, let's say first one?
Harriet.
Arius?
Harriet.
Harriet, okay. And over here?
Denali.
Denali, okay. Harriet and Denali. Others?
Carolyn.
You said Carolyn?
Marilyn.
Need to give you guys microphones too. I'm not hearing this real well. And two more.
Kurt?
Betty.
And Betty. All right. So you've heard this a few times already. Hear these verses with your name in them. And imagine that this is talking about you. Because it is. The Lord will guide Paul always. The Lord will satisfy Janet's needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen Claudia's frame. Trina will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Mark will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. Harriet will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Denali is the salt of the earth. Marilyn is the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Kurt, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine that they may see Betty's good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Fremont UMC, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let's realize that. Let's become that. Amen.